Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at
this is what it's about, right? It's about the reality of being outside.
Yes, yes,
I thought, no way am I going to be in a studio.
Giovanna Fletcher, thank you so much for making the trip to my little outdoor space.
I love it. I didn't realise that you had a trampoline.
Well, a lot of people are surprised by that. They don't realise I am actually an Olympic trampoline. No, I'm not.
But some people, that is a great way of, you know, keeping your joints doing their thing.
You know, you're so right, and I should use it more.
I'm guessing you didn't put it in.
Well, it was here when I bought the house.
Was it the selling point?
And for me, I put into Rightmove trampoline.
Yes.
Sunken trampoline, and this is the one place that came up. Well, the previous people said, oh, we've got this trampoline, do you want us to do anything with it? And I said, oh no, it'll be fun. Because I don't really use it. And now to fill it in, it's probably like 4 foot's worth of earth.
So yeah, it's ridiculous.
So yeah, it's a lot. It'd be like tons
it's
of earth.
It's money in
yeah,
a
it's
hole.
A money pit.
Yes.
But my niece has taken to liking it, so now I can't get rid of it until she grows out of it.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's a fun thing to have in the garden. Do you have any kind of...
We have a sunken trampoline.
Oh,
we do.
There you go. Do you use it frequently?
No, I try to avoid it at all costs.
There you
go. But the kids are out there all the time.
Oh,
but it's nice to know that if you were to have a bounce, you possibly wouldn't break anything.
Yes, that's true, isn't it? Mm. And you can't fall off it, and you can't, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. When I go on it, I do actually enjoy it.
Do you?
I can spy on the neighbours. Just for a moment.
Just your face brief... hopping up and down.
Yes, just for very
Tom's
short,
out again.
Short bursts of nosiness. And yes, it's great, actually. Yeah, it's been a real bonus. But I'm very honoured you've come to the garden because you are a very good gardener. And so I'm very keen. I've got lots of questions for you about
that. Oh, gosh. But the thing is, I basically make it up as I go along.
That's what I do.
Yeah, but I think that's the joy of gardening.
Yes.
Like, it's the one part of my life where I'm not looking for the right answer.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Sometimes things are going to grow. And other times, things happen that are out of your control, like the weather.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes, like we have today.
Yeah.
We're sat under the gazebo.
It's very fancy.
Which is very fancy. Makes the garden look like there's been a murder. And
I always wanted to lie down so I can just chalkboard with
yes,
my chalk around.
Would you mind? That's part of the fun of it. And sometimes, yes, we might hear the rustle of the tarpaulin, which is not a word I use very often, actually,
it's very
tarpaulin.
Sexy.
Yeah. Yes, very, very, very chic. But yeah, we sort of run with it here because I think that's, as you say, the nature of a garden, isn't it? That sometimes it rains, but it's still lovely in its way.
Yeah.
Still lovely to be outdoors.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've just thoroughly enjoyed growing things. I think at the start it was, well, when we lived in our old house, especially during COVID, it was that case of trying to grow loads of things on the kitchen side.
Oh, yes.
Which obviously would annoy Tom because
tidy.
Everything just grows and takes over.
Yeah.
There's the tarpaulin, just in case you didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
But then when we moved, there was a greenhouse. So actually being able to go and disappear into the greenhouse.
This is what I'm very interested to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Has that made a big difference?
Massive.
Yeah.
Because also you can go and disappear into it. Like, everyone knows where I am. If you need me, I'll be in the greenhouse.
She's in the greenhouse.
Yeah. But I'll have a little podcast on. I'll listen to something and just kind of get lost in the different seasons of growing.
That's what's so nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, funny you mentioned the trampoline because that was my dream. to have it as a sunken greenhouse, which I thought would be a lovely idea.
Oh.
And then my mum brought out my niece, who immediately loved the trampoline. She said, well, you can't get rid of that now. So that's what's put the mockers on
for
that.
Now, for now.
For now.
So you're learning all the other things in the garden first.
Before I go into. Yes. Because talking to Kerry Godleman here, and she has a potting shed for similar purposes, I think. She likes to go there and write.
Ah.
And I think that's a nice, it would be a nice thing to have, like a space that was big enough to have
maybe
a chair or some sort of...
It is nice to have somewhere to go.
Yes.
That is away from people.
Yes. Lovely.
You know, it's really good. And also that thing of watching, like, I've obviously been doing it for a few years now, but the idea that you put this tiny little seed in a bit of compost and water it, and then something massive grows that gives you fruit or veg.
It's the veg alarm.
It's ready!
It's ready, yes.
But I never get tired of seeing it. Like, I feel like it's a miracle every single time.
Absolutely. And we have such an excitement of planting the seeds in the spring and then waiting for those tiny little blades that
and
come up.
And the worry days and weeks. It's gone wrong.
It's gone wrong. We haven't done it. Yeah. Well, I thought last year we were fine for carrots. This year...
We might have to buy them.
I know. Growing carrots is such a stupid thing to do as well. They cost like 20p in the supermarket.
But I do this thing where, because with carrots, you have to, like, you just sprinkle the seeds across. So you end up with having to thin them out.
Yes, yes.
But
which I can never be bothered
but
to
you've
do.
Already, well, no, and I'm like, but you've already gone through the effort of growing. I don't want to... End things
there. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
Well, so I pick them out and then I try to replant them in other places. No, because actually, you shouldn't do that. Mm. Because then when you replant them, that's when you get carrots that look like chickens.
Oh, I saw that on your videos. You had a very funny looking carrot. So that happened
because you play around with the root. So if it's just the root will just go down unless it hits a stone or something. So that's how you get a straight carrot. But if it hits things along the way, or if you've mangled the root, it doesn't know what it's doing.
Yes.
So it turns into a chicken. Looking carrot, not an actual chicken.
No, that would be delicious, imagine.
That's how I get all my chickens.
Yes. Well, you were saying you've got chickens in your garden.
Yeah.
I think that's lovely.
It's really lovely. So we've had rescue chickens now for the last 3 or 4 years. Oh. When they arrive, they are not looking like chickens that you see in nice pictures. Mm. And ours were free-range chickens, supposedly, as well, that we'd rescued. But they had no feathers. They'd never really spent time outside. And so seeing them over the next few weeks kind of get used to, we can just walk around and look, my feathers are growing back.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know,
yes.
It was really quite incredible. Ooh.
How lovely. And they give you eggs.
They give you eggs, and they're really delicious eggs. Mm,
they're so different, aren't they? Whenever I've had eggs from a farmyard, they are like, this is what eggs are supposed to taste like.
Yeah. But we've had them for a long time now. I mean, I've only just this week moved the chicken coop to next to the vegetable patch.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, it makes much more sense. I don't know why they didn't do it to start with.
Do they go and pick off the slugs and caterpillars?
No, that's ducks. That's what I'm currently campaigning for Fletcher ducks.
Wouldn't that be something?
Rather ducks, literally just go through, take your slugs. Although, did you realise, did you have a slug problem this year?
Not this year.
Yeah, less slugs this year. Yeah.
Is that because it's been drier?
I don't know. I wonder if they run in cycles. But last year, I was literally out with my head torch.
Yes, everyone asks about my torch on my Crocs. That's for Alfie bought me that to spot for the slugs when I come out. But I haven't needed to.
No.
And we did get the organic sort of pellets.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that are wool.
Oh.
Have you ever seen them? They have a really weird smell about them.
Right.
That makes it just smell like, you know, like if you leave washing in the... Well, it was literally like leaving washing in the washing machine for too long.
Oh, it's
like damp wool.
Light. Nice.
Which was horrible. Made it really disgusting to come out.
Yeah.
So we got rid of those. But the garlic... have you ever tried that, the garlic?
I grow garlic and onion around the outside.
Oh, does that do the same thing?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that puts them off as well.
Maybe. Maybe we're just really good at gardening this year.
Maybe we just finally learned. You've got this fabulous, like, farm of vegetables growing. You've got your cucumelons.
Yeah.
Which I've often wondered about. Are they nice?
I mean, it was our first time growing them.
Oh.
I like them. I think the melon aspect of the name made me think it was going to be more melony.
But it's more cucumbery.
It's just a mini cucumber.
Fine.
But beautiful.
Sure.
Beautiful.
Sure.
And I also made the little bamboo teepee, which is such a simple thing, but made me feel really, you know, accomplished.
No, that is very like old school gardening, isn't
it?
Well,
I think it's the first time that Tom came out and I was like, I've done this. Mm. And he was like, you made it. It's the first time he's ever actually shown any interest, any pride in something that I've done
oh.
in terms of the garden.
Oh.
Usually you can see him just kind of glaze over.
Oh, really?
You want me not... to... Well, it's like, do you want me to do another... Do you want me to make another bed? You know? Whereas I guess it's because I'm just so invested. Like, I find every aspect of it fascinating.
Yes.
Whereas Tom can kind of, like, stop talking to me about the garden.
He's not... Oh, right. No, he loves it,
but certain parts of it.
Oh, right.
I think he likes planting things, okay. And he likes then the harvesting.
Sure.
Not, but then there's...
A bit in the middle.
The bit in the middle, which is actually the most important bit, you know?
Yes, Tom, you will have to get on board with that, I'm afraid. Oh, that's interesting to me, though. I can... But I don't know why, but I think he... I can imagine him being good with a potato.
Can you? Yeah. He knows his way around a potato, that is true. Mm. I mean, I guess there's just so much going on.
Yes, and it's full-time as well, isn't it? When you think about it, it's like, always something to be doing, isn't
it? I'm just grateful that he isn't grumbling about the fact that I disappear into the greenhouse. Like
greenhouse,
you know?
For hours. Yeah. But your greenhouse, what results it yielded, I saw on your social media, the lovely, well, tomatoes, things like basil, which I've got this like... one twig, which will occasionally have one leaf, so I'm keeping it going because I think, oh well, I bought it from a garden centre. I didn't get it from a supermarket.
Okay.
I was like, this is the basil I'm going to make something of, but it'll be like one tiny leaf that occasionally I'll be like, now's the day, we're going to have that basil leaf.
Also, last year I was rubbish with my basil. Basil did nothing.
In the greenhouse. Oh, okay.
I think I was just too late.
Ah.
And then this year I started earlier and had a little propagating tray and a little heat. I think I used the heat mat.
Yes.
So they got a little kickstart, which meant that when the weather did warm up, my basil was ready.
Oh, okay. So I should get something fancy like that.
Yeah.
Does it have a lamp over the top?
No. I literally, they were from the supermarket, not a supermarket, they were from the garden centre. And it's just, you can get either sort of quite thin plastic, which is reusable anyway, or this hardened plastic. Uh-huh. And you just put it on this little heat mat.
So
it's got a lid anyway, so the heat comes up. You just want to make sure you water it, otherwise it dries
otherwise
out.
It will die. Yes. And I suppose things like that, oregano did well, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
I was quite pleased.
And it comes back?
Yeah, I was very pleased with that. Yeah. It's starting to go a bit crispy at the moment. But
that's okay. So I think you just cut... I recently cut back on my oregano.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking I'll just wait and see. Same with my sage.
Oh, so I need to do that?
Yeah.
That's what I'm always scared of with gardening, though. Is how brutal you have to be to be like lavender, for example, which I've had mixed results with, even though that's a drought tolerant, very easy thing to grow. Somehow I've managed to kill it. But
we live and we learn. Lavender doesn't.
Lavender does not, will not have that chance to learn, unfortunately. What I like about gardening as well is it is always a connection to our shared history, isn't it? Because, well, if our predecessors hadn't been gardeners, we'd be dead.
So, very true.
So they have to have been good at it. And I like that kind of... And a lot of the methods that are used now, like propagation and stuff, is old. I mean, I don't know where exactly, but it's old.
It's not it's us.
It's not... Yeah, it wasn't something we invented.
They're not
coming
up with new ideas.
Yeah, you know,
have you tried talking to friends yet about gardening and found yourself chatting to someone that is so uninterested?
If they're not interested, as if they haven't got a garden, they're like, right, yeah.
I was talking to Emma once, and so Emma Willis, and I was really going in about what's growing, which was like, it's Matt you want. Thanks, friend.
I remember trying to get her into it, and I thought, you'd like all this. And the next thing I knew, Matt was massively into it, which does, I think, probably does fit with him.
That's very true.
Him, I think. I can imagine Emma getting into it, actually.
Well, that's what I thought.
Mm.
They have an area.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just a case of getting stuff growing in there.
Yeah. Well, you've got to... As we say, you've got to plant it.
You've got to be in it to win it, guys.
You've got to be in it to win it. You only miss the shots you don't take, Emma. I think sometimes as well I've noticed that gardening sort of sucks people in without them realising because they might be like, I'm not interested in it. And as soon as you have even just like one little pot, you become invested and then suddenly you're like,
I've done that, maybe I can grow this.
Yeah, and it's a lovely feeling.
Yeah.
I always say about potatoes... just the taste of them is extraordinary.
Absolutely. I had a thing this year where, so I was going off on a trek, which meant that Tom was in charge of watering.
That must have been quite frightening.
Yes, because also you realise your level of watering, and really what I've got to do is I've got to get some irrigation in. That's my learning.
Yeah, that is, isn't it?
When I left, everything was upright. All the potatoes were nice and standing proudly. And I came back, and while we were away, it was the heat wave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, which meant that a little sprinkle's not going to go very far.
Yeah, it just runs off, yes.
So I came back and everything was... And because I'm a little bit obsessive, the first thing I do whenever I'm away for a little while is go to the garden and see what's going on.
Same.
What's grown.
Same.
I was like, it's not a case of what's grown, it's what's dead.
Oh.
But the potatoes, they were all a bit like...
But then
They did come back.
They come back.
They came back.
Well, I always say about tomatoes are like that. I mean,
yes,
we were really into our tomatoes this year because last year we didn't really know what we were doing. Very naive. Thought, despite being bought lots of books about gardening, thought we won't need to read any of those. I'm sure we can work it out. Just obviously we ended up with this very bloomed tomato bush with no tomatoes on it. Obviously you've got to do that picking out thing. We did it this year. But like, if you didn't water those tomatoes for 20 minutes, they would just go, oh, fine then, you don't love me, I'll just die. Do you find that with yours?
Absolutely, absolutely. And because they're in the greenhouse, it's even hotter.
Yes.
So yeah, they are quite, although Basil for me, I think, is the one that's a little bit, you know, quite the diva.
And
just kind of like, darling, I can't. but yeah, it is that, it's a roller coaster, just sort of seeing what, the amount of times I think I've killed something and then it comes back.
It's that feels to me like a big part of the journey in gardening is just trusting, like, maybe it'll be okay. And a lot of the time it is. Like,
tomatoes, I've got to say, are really good fun as well. Because the amount of varieties that you can get that even realised.
Oh, we learned that.
I mean, Tomato Revolution, big up Tomato Revolution, because that is a tomato seed company. They only sell tomato seeds.
And they
are phenomenal. So the amount of different, like, there's yellow ones, there's black ones, there's purple and blue ones.
Yes, all those heritage ones. Oh, you feel like Jamie Oliver, don't you?
Right.
So, and they were easy to grow?
Yeah, yeah. And you get micro ones as well. So if someone's only got a small space to grow, you get like micro dwarf ones, which are really, you know, they just give you so many tomatoes. It's amazing.
Oh, okay. Well, you've inspired me there.
There you go.
Because I think, ours came from Alfie's mum, Linda.
And, nice. Good old Linda.
She started them off and then we just put them in the pots. I think because she'd seen our disappointment last year. And she started off and then we did it properly.
I think things like, even if you're buying plugs from somewhere or plants, I think that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't somehow
start. Do you know what I mean?
There is that sense sometimes of like, oh, well, I'm cheating really and I didn't make my own compost. Do you compost yourself?
I have a hot bin compost. Oh. I do, but I haven't. So this will be the first year of actually getting the compost out of it.
Oh,
so
is it sort of on a 2-year cycle, or
no? To be honest, it should be a lot quicker. I just haven't. I haven't opened it yet.
Oh,
so yeah. So I've got to, so it's quite a big one. So I have to take the top layer off, and then in an ideal world, beneath it would just be great compost. That's basically just of all of our rubbish.
All of your needs. Yeah. Well, that is the dream, I think, to kind of, because I do like the idea of being self-sufficient in a very good life sort of way.
Mm.
But and I'd be lying if I said the campness of that doesn't appeal to me. but somehow, getting a compost bin, I don't know why I haven't managed to do it.
It's good. It feels like hot bin, it kind of just heats it up. It's meant to be just a lot quicker.
So you put do you put enzymes in it or something? You put worms in it?
No. It's literally, so it's like thick black, I want to say, some poly something material.
Yes.
So you fill it with like cardboard and paper and twigs and your old food, any cuttings.
Yeah. Right.
And it just basically, you put a lid on it and it just, you see this little temperature gauge and there's a green section. So once it's in the green section, that's when it's really cooking.
Oh, and that's
and
all
sometimes
natural.
You pick it up and there's like steam coming off of it.
Wow. But that's not like plugged in.
No.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you can get cold compost, but a cold composting area.
It sounds like one of those taps you can get in your kitchen.
Cold compost or whatever.
Yes, cold water. You know, this one's sparkling. Can you get sparkling compost?
Yes, you can, actually. Yes,
that would be
just
nice.
Just put bubbles through it. But that just takes longer. So the hot bin, the idea of that is that it's everything happening a lot quicker. So you get. So I think it says that within 45 days, you'll get a certain type of compost. Within 90 days, you'll get great compost.
Oh, wow. Proper as compost. Quick as that?
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of thing I think I'd like to do, to sort of feel like I was doing kind of the whole cycle,
I suppose. But any waste that you have in the kitchen,
it
goes in there.
Put it in there rather than, we do have composting with the little bins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it does feel like it would be better to
use it ourselves. But then that composting goes to your composting rather than the council's composting.
Because compost is expensive.
Yeah, yes. It's ridiculous.
Like,
my late night like shopping since being a gardener, I'm like, yes, I have spent a hell of a lot of money on mud.
Yes, because, and you know, we mustn't have the peat, which actually most garden centres, I think, are selling
peat-free.
Yeah. But I think that probably process makes it even more expensive then, because it's not just like, oh, we'll just go and dig up that peat bog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then they've got to actually, somebody's got to break it down in there. their garden. But yeah, and you need quite a lot of it, I think, don't you, to mulch?
Yes.
A lot of mulching, I always say.
There's a lot of mulching.
A lot of mulching.
But yeah, you do. It's just surprising how so many bags don't go that far.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. And I'll buy a bag and I'll be like, well, that's
it's gone.
How much it was. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll, you know, one pot. That basically
the garden's equivalent of cement.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
It is.
It's just literally just, well, that's, like, that's just that, money then. There, gone.
That's that then. That's, and you do. And I try and cheat a bit as well with pots and stuff. And I'll put a bit of, you know, maybe the container pots that, yeah. that things will, the plants will come in.
Yeah.
I'll put those at the bottom, or do you mean some big old rocks?
Yeah, yeah, because otherwise,
to fill the space. Because otherwise, I'm not going to just fill it up with compost. Like all that stuff down the bottom not being used, just so some stupid plant can have a bit of manoeuvre.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a bit angry.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I started playing around this year with like pH levels as well. Ups and downs.
This is the next level. This is why I'm so keen to talk to you. So
there's what, ups and downs in terms of the pH levels.
You've got the Judy Garland of gardens.
You can literally get different liquids depending on what you're growing.
Right.
But I mean,
yes.
It is like a Google. You know, you're literally there going, what pH level should my tomatoes be growing in?
Because do you find there's a lot of, I see a lot of things about ericaceous soil. I don't know what ericaceous means or what it is.
I'm constantly Googling, constantly.
Things like that.
But then I'm also a little bit slapdash. So if I've got something that needs to be planted and it's telling me it needs that sort of soil, I'm like,
you'll get what
see.
You're given.
Let's see.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Don't be picky. Don't be telling me your dietary requirements now, okay? Because I have a bag of this and I would like to get you in the ground.
I've got a gluten intolerance. Cucamelon.
And at the end of the day, at the end of the summer, that turns out to be right. And
yes.
Like, you win on this occasion.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. But I just think most of the time, I'm probably wrong here, but probably I would say watering something, giving it some sunlight, not too much, but a good deal of sunlight and a bit of mud seems to be okay.
Well, so think about how much effort I put into the tomatoes in the greenhouse, right? That is a real like labour of love. It makes me think about my nonna in Italy. Like, I love being in there. Yes. Love seeing all the different varieties grow.
Yes.
And I was out the front of the house a couple of months ago. So after months and months of growing things in the garden, really worrying, like, are they getting enough water? Or the sun, whatever. Went outside and I was like, that's a tomato plant growing in the front.
Oh.
I've not put it there. This tomato plant that has grown of its own accord.
Free
not
range.
A free-range tomato plant that has not had my loving care is the best blooming tomato plant in my whole garden.
How frustrating.
Yeah.
What was that? And what was its conditions there then?
Just do what you like. I didn't trim it. I didn't prune it. I didn't
How
throw any of the
funny.
Suckers off. Nothing like that.
And
these massive, meaty
really?
Tomatoes. Yeah. That How aren't like anything I grew in the greenhouse.
What an insult.
So insulting.
Everything
you wait,
I've
garden.
To you.
You wait till you get what you get next year. Any soil, not even compost.
Well, that's the other thing people say, because I try and grow. I've got some meadow flowers here, which we did buy in a rolled up tote, so we cheated. In the summer and the spring, they look a bit more exciting. But apparently, you should treat those mean to keep them keen.
Oh,
like
really?
You've got to, like, you can just drag your feet over them, kick them about
but
a bit.
But you look out in nature and you kind of look at all the things that just grow of its own accord.
Oh, absolutely.
And we fanny about.
Oh, my. I must make sure that my little seedlings are separated out. I've got to prick them out. Oh, what sort of ericaceous soil. Go along the motorway. This is beautiful. Buddleias and everything looks lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, how true. How true is that? It's a fine balance, isn't it?
It is. Are you a big spring person when it comes to the garden?
I suppose that's the time to get excited, isn't it? And I think when you start to see...
Well, no, because you can do the stuff now.
Well, yes, you can plant bulbs and all that.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I know I've got to do it. But then I was going to do it, and then I got some bulbs gifted to me, actually.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you,
Aaron.
There were some from M&S, actually. Yes, thank you. And I was about to put them out, and then people on social media, I put it on social media, people were like, you can't put them out yet.
Is it too warm?
Because it's too warm and it's too wet. You need to make sure it's cold. But now I think we're getting towards the cold bit, and I'm scared that I'll miss that bit now I've been warned off.
I reckon we're okay in the next week or so, I would think. We're getting cold.
Yes.
Because the problem is if it starts warming up, then the bulb would be like, oh, here we are already.
Yes, and then we'll have it too soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think as well, a bit like we're saying, they'll probably be fine.
They'll work themselves out.
They'll work it out. Because, as was also said to me once, plants were here long before human beings. And they'll be here long after human beings. They don't need all this kind of... Do you know, they don't need this extra kind of, like, fannying around them. They're just so... Probably.
If plants could talk to each other, they'd be like, you would never guess what she's doing to me now. Never guess. Eggshells. She's putting eggshells around me now.
Oh, yeah, that sort of thing. We tried that.
I've got beer in the corner.
That never worked. Just ended up with a stupid, stupid thing of beer.
Yeah. I started no picking up the slugs and putting
them in. Yes, that's exactly what I did. Yeah. Thinking I was doing some sort of humane act.
I was just literally lobbing them over the fence.
Oh, I mean, they've met different fates in this garden. I can't...
Go fly!
Yeah, they would do well if they could learn to fly, because they will not meet a happy end here. Most of the time. Anyway, not to be gruesome about the slugs. Clearly that bird. Well, why doesn't that bird come and eat the slugs?
That's do what your say. Job, magpie!
Well, that's what they say as well. It's like, oh, why... If you... Yeah,
see?
Yeah. If you encourage birds into the garden, then they will eat your slugs for you. And if you encourage... But I don't know how... Unless you are... Snow White.
I think we just need a bird table, like a feeding table, and some seeds. Well, all those things hanging off trees.
Then you get the horrible birds coming in.
Can't be picky.
Yeah, I want the nice birds. I don't want these big, horrible crows coming in.
But you can get food that's specifically for, or like, that attracts certain birds.
Oh, can you? Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Oh, see, there you go. You are offering dietaries in your garden.
Yeah, magpies, you don't like this.
Fine. This is for the nice ones, the ones with a nice song, actually. Because we get, as well, parakeets or those. Are they parakeets?
God, I remember that from living in Sidcup.
Oh, because you used to live around here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's quite a glamorous idea that these beautiful green tropical birds somehow have found their way to southeast London. Lovely. But the noise.
When they started turning up, I moved from Sidcup to Northwood.
Oh.
And I absolutely loved them here. But you realise that actually at that time, sort of 20 years ago, they weren't anywhere else. They were just here. Because the rumour had it that someone let them out in Footscray.
Oh, is that your...
Apparently, there's so many different rumours.
Mm.
Another one is, a really big musician.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, let them out of a cage. That's another rumour.
I've heard that one.
But they used to be quite contained.
Yes.
But when they turned up in Northwood, I was like, oh my gosh.
They're here as well.
They're here as well. And they were gorgeous.
Beautiful.
But it's only when you start growing things or have fruit trees that they'll just like go away.
Well, I have heard stories about how, maybe not parakeets especially, but birds are quite a menace in growing.
Honestly, we've got a few fruit trees. So we've got loads. I think we've got about four cherry trees. No, five cherry trees.
Oh, loads basically of... a cherry tree lane, like Mary Poppins.
We've got a fig tree. We've got like loads of different plums and apricots. They don't bother with the apples and the pears. But last year, those trees were stripped.
Really?
Stripped. Yes. And this year, I was in a race with the parakeets to try and get my cherries off the tree before they started.
What can you do unless you cover them in nets or something?
You can. They so you nice. Get like little organza bags. You can kind of do individuals, but that's a lot of effort. Some people just hang CDs because they spin.
Yes,
and
the
reflectiveness. My in-laws got me this sort of plastic owl who bobs his head around. I call him Bob. And he just sits up on the shed.
I saw this on your social media. Does that work?
Well, I got to eat the figs this year.
Wow, that's great.
And the plums. So...
Is it what they used to be? that's a good idea then.
Yeah.
We went to a restaurant that has a vineyard. I mean, sure, you could say we have a very bourgeois existence. And they were, alarmingly, they were firing off a gun. not at the birds, but just to frighten them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So every sort of 10 minutes or so, there'd be, you'd think you were like being followed by someone with a blunderbuss.
Well, with our parakeets, interestingly, so we live by some farms. We went away, it was a couple of summers ago, we went away and the parakeets were everywhere. And we came back and the parakeets were gone because the crows had arrived, because it was a certain time of year for the farmers. Oh. But then there's gunshots all the time because they're, and it's not really gunshots,
no,
it's just
the sound.
Bang.
Yes.
Because they then try and get rid of the crows.
Yes.
But I was thankful because they got rid of the parakeets.
Oh, that's, yeah. There you go. So it does work if you can attract the right.
Just need to scare them.
Yes. Yes. Okay, fine. So we need to get like some sort of explosive, yeah, or a
just
scarecrow.
Just, yeah, dress up like a crow. Like,
and run around.
Like, in Schitt's Creek. And just run around.
I have got that feathered dress, actually. I was thinking I've got it. I should have my dressing gown.
Yes.
Is that, no, that's not a crow at all. That was a...
Oh, I like it, though. There's another app that you should try.
What's that?
The Merlin app. It's
Is
a
it
bird.
Spells? Oh. No.
It's a bird app.
Oh.
So it literally, you go in the garden, you let it like listen to what's going on around you, and it will tell you what birds are there. It's fascinating.
I think that's my next stage, because I remember my mum and dad, particularly during the pandemic,
they'd
be like, oh, Tom, come and have a look, come and have a look. They've gone in the, we've got a family in the birdhouse.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, shut up.
But now you've used it to gardening.
Yeah,
you know
it's
that bird
natural...
watching is next.
It really is. How does it get us all?
Because,
I mean, knowing there's different calls and,
yeah.
I mean, it's, we have an owl.
See, this would tell you what type of owl.
Yes, somebody said to me, is it a tawny owl? Is it a barn owl?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's dark when it comes out, so I don't know.
You would literally just have to press record, and it would listen to that owl and tell you what it is.
It's a lovely sound.
It's very good.
That one, we do get bats as well sometimes.
He's so fun.
I'm not worried about bats. A lot of people have fear of them.
Are they worried about bats?
People have a fear of them getting in. Somebody said to me they fear them getting in their hair.
Interesting. We've got a barn. And there's a bat in there at the moment.
Oh.
Yeah, so when the light gets a little bit, when the, you know, sun's started to set, it sort of flies around. I don't like, but they fly quite quickly. And I know that they're very aware of their spacing, but...
Famously.
Yeah, yes, but I just don't want to be in their space.
Fine. Yes, yeah. I wouldn't want it. Like
so if the kids have left the barn light on, I have to go in and turn it off. And I'm always like, oh.
Oh, right, in case he flies out. We get a little family of them. I think they must live over there. More in the summer we see them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's late for birds to be flying around. No, that's bats.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating,
Red.
Though? That it's that switch in the day where the birds have gone to sleep and now we have bats.
And how do they know?
Yeah.
It's our time.
Yeah, it's not your time to shine anymore. Go back.
Yeah. Go back. Where do the birds go? Do they go? You never see a bird asleep, do you?
This is deep,
actually. and I think he's really showing a big gaps in my knowledge of, well, literally
they just
anything.
Go back to their nests, don't they? Do you reckon it's because then there'll be predators and stuff out?
Yeah, because I guess it's a more dangerous time for
and
them.
And a visibility thing, can birds fly in the dark, like sight-wise?
They do have little eyes, don't they? Mm. Oh, I hope they're okay. Do they still fly south for winter?
Not all birds, I don't think.
Chickens don't?
No, they don't. They're just in my coop.
They're just... Do you worry about foxes?
No, because our coop and our run, it's an omelette one. So it's an
omelette, a great brand.
Yeah, great brand and great name. Whoever came up with that name,
in that
meeting must have been like, yes.
Yes, yes.
But we've had them for so many years now and we've never had any problems. So you kind of, their coops, you kind of dig down a little bit.
Ah, lovely. So,
it's a little bit dug down.
Yes.
Sorry
about this rain, by the way.
If you could have controlled the weather, that would have been great.
I mean, as I say, we always just lean into whatever we've got.
At least we're under this adorable
this beautiful
gazebo.
Murder gazebo. Sorry. I think it's okay for Sam. Are we okay? Yeah. Just go with it. Because you know so much, and but in a really accessible way.
Because I don't feel like I know anything.
Well,
it's what you pick up. So sometimes, you know, I kind of like the fact that it's an area that you're allowed to get things wrong.
Yes.
But then sometimes when you post things and people are like, oh, no. But often when I'm posting things, I'm asking for help. Like,
yes.
I've got all these black bugs on my broad beans. Why? What do I do?
Oh,
and
yes.
And having someone say, just dilute some fairy liquid and just spray
and
it.
Like, great.
Great, I can do that.
Because I find as well, is it Aristotle who said, he who knows most of all knows he knows nothing?
That's good.
Which I try and employ, but then sometimes I'll get a bit confident and go, I'm doing this today with the potatoes, and people will then love to go, what are you doing? You shouldn't do that with the potatoes. You'll murder them. And you go, I just thought you were supposed to water them. No, you don't water them on a Tuesday. And you go, how do you know this?
But that's so, how you start buying more and more things.
Yes.
Things they're telling you, is the soil wet? Is it moist? Is it yes. dry? Like, what have people, you done
what
wrong?
Sort of soil have you got? Clay? I don't know. Well, it's not clay. It's mud.
It's brown. It's
brown, brown mud. What are you talking about? There's different types now. So, yeah, the drainage and the
yeah.
all of that. Who
There's a lot. There's a lot. But yeah, so I think if we all employ that, well, those of us that are trying, just employ that method of we're going to do what we do. And, you know, I don't know. I think with parenting, I read all the books and then was quite like upset when things didn't turn out as the book said.
Well, I think this happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. So with gardening, I'm like, at least it's not the same as growing a baby. It's not the same as growing a human. Like, it's okay if you get things wrong.
Yeah,
the plant's not going to need therapy when they're an adult. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Have you saved to send this tomato to university?
You know what I mean? So the stakes are lower.
Yes, that's true, isn't it? Remember that. Well, of course, and which brings us neatly on to your fabulous podcast, Happy Mum, Happy Baby. Yeah. Because the mother, of course, should be happy, and then the baby can be happy. Yeah. And you've brought a lot of love and light to a lot of mums. And oh God, sorry, there's an umbrella here. Would you like?
Which one? Go for the red one.
Go for the red one. Yeah. It's got a nice sort of oldie worldy look, as you'd expect. It's actually my mum's. Her friend Julie bought it for her.
Very nice.
Has it got a button on it? Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Look at that. Look at us.
There you go.
It's don't like we romantic look at, now, isn't it?
I feel like I'm in a fabulous film. Isn't it a lovely day to be caught in the rain? Do you know that from Top Hat? Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something. Spin that. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. What have I done?
You're putting a shadow on your face.
Oh, just spin it. That better?
Much better.
Now you're back in a musical. Just spin it. Look at that. Look at that.
Finding my light. I bet the greenhouse is fabulous, though, for that sound.
Yeah. But also, it makes everything sound far worse than what it is. So you find there's a little pitter, and you're like, well, I should probably stay in here a little while longer.
Wait
so
for
I don't
this
get
to pass.
Caught in the temple.
Yes.
And then after half an hour, open the door, and it's just that, it's just literally a drizzle.
Well, that's probably what this is, really.
Yeah.
Maybe. But.
There's no thunder and lightning.
Don't say, imagine if that then came. Us with our umbrellas, these metal poles stuck into the air.
At least we'll go down together, it's fine.
What a way to go, right. And I feel like I've brought you to the garden on quite a sort of a gloomy day, but it's all sort of died back a bit. I'd like you to have seen it in a more...
I loved your videos.
Oh, thank you.
I really, really loved them.
Oh, thank you very much for saying that.
I just think growing with humour is just so important and experimenting and talking about what's going right and wrong.
Well, that's very generous of you to say. I mean... Well, as we were saying about happy mum, happy baby.
Yeah.
Happy mother, happy baby, happy mum.
Happy mum, happy baby.
Happy mum, happy baby. It's about kind of flinging open the doors, I think, and talking honestly about people's experiences, because nobody's perfect.
No.
We're all just having a go.
But we all think that we should be perfect and we should know what we're doing and that things should come instinctively. And and I read so many books before having my eldest. I thought, you know, I'm going to be a good, studious, you know, mother and research.
Yes, you know all the best mothers are always academic.
They are, it turns out. But, you know, I kind of had a plan in my head, but it turns out that he hadn't read anything.
No.
The lazy
oh,
little
how
baby.
Rude.
I know.
I thought that work you did.
So, you know, there are certain books straight away that I was like, well, that's not what I've got. That's not going to work here.
Sure.
And I felt that because the things that I thought were going to happen weren't happening, I felt like I'd failed straight away. And I felt like I was so busy listening to the noise around me that I just couldn't just zone in on what I was experiencing or the bond with my baby or just kind of trying to learn from him. So, yeah, it was a really weird time. And because I was writing fiction anyway.
Yes, I know,
And I love that. And even my journey into fiction was kind of by chance. Not by chance. A lot of hard work. But because acting wasn't happening, I needed another creative outlet. So I started writing, not really knowing that it was possible to have book deals. And, you know, and that's 13, 14 years now.
That was a while ago, wasn't it? You did that.
Yeah. So I was already writing fiction. And I just thought, actually, if I was going to add a voice to this non-fiction space of motherhood, what is it? Because it doesn't need another textbook of how to do it perfectly.
Right, yeah.
So I started writing an honest account of how I'd found it, highs, lows, and just being really, really honest. Not really sure, actually, if I was going to publish what I'd written. You know, if it was going to... Yeah. I just thought I'd get it all down and then I can make it look rosier at the end. Yes. And then at the end, I just thought, actually, but this is a really honest account and I don't want it to be anything other than this. And the reaction to that was amazing. And I felt like a lot of mums were sort of scooped together, could talk, and dads, talk in a really honest way. And I just didn't want it to end. Like with most things, you know, with books, with TV, everything has its moment and the conversation goes.
Yes.
I didn't want that. So I was listening to a lot of podcasts at the time, and this was 8, 9 years ago now, and I just thought, I want it to continue in a podcast format, but not about me.
Sure.
So other people coming on and talking about their experiences, because otherwise it's just me going on all the time. You know, and there's only so much you can say, isn't there?
We'll try to extend the
conversation. Also, I think, to have other people's experiences of it. But we've been going for a long old time now, and I never get bored. It's amazing.
But I guess it is one of those things, isn't it? A bit like gardening, not to bring it back to that, but it's one of those things that human beings have been doing for a long time.
Exactly.
If they hadn't, then, again, we wouldn't be here.
But we have turned it into an academic subject.
Yes.
We've turned it into something you can do right or wrong.
Yes.
You know, and there has to be conversations around acceptance, that motherhood looks, or fatherhood look like, being a parent looks different to different people.
Yes.
Letting yourself realise that a lot of that judgment you feel is you.
And I guess that my sense is a lot of things are like that, are magnified by the age of social media. The age of the internet can become very, we can become very comparative. We become very kind of obsessed with, like you say, the sort of binary right or wrong.
I just didn't understand why when I became a mum, it wasn't everyone smiling under crisp white sheets. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that at all.
Yeah.
And I just wanted, I just wanted to see a little bit more reality out there. I think that is because I realized very early on that when I shared the reality, a magical came back.
It's extraordinary, isn't it, that kind of vulnerability is the thing we kind of fear, but yet that yields the best.
And I think we're lucky, you know, we're at an age where the filters have come in and we've kind of gone unfiltered. And I know there's a younger generation that are now the filters are there because of different reality shows or whatever, and everyone wants to make themselves look a certain way with the different apps that make the blemishes go and the body look slimmer or whatever is.
When will any of us be happy with ourselves?
Well, I know, but I don't know whether it's our age that, you know, we're out pottering in gardens and listening to birds.
Yes, you know?
I don't care what I look like in that way. I think it's a very different thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about cycles, and I'm liking where we're at the moment.
It's a nice feeling, and as well, I know we're both in our 40s.
Yes,
now.
We are. Mm. Yes.
So, I mean, not that it has to be about that. And I've always felt like an old soul. But there's something about being in over 40 that I think gives that license to be
it's
bit more
beautiful.
Like, I kind of look forward to, if I get to have it, an older age.
Yeah.
Where you can just do whatever
what
the hell you want.
What are we going to do in our old age when we're already doing the things that people associate with our old age?
I think that's when we're going to be raving.
Getting drunk on the alcohol that we've managed to grow in our garden.
Oh, we will probably be. Yeah, can you imagine all those potatoes? Think of the vodka emporium you could have.
Exactly.
Yes,
that.
Exactly.
That's why I grow so many.
That's why, Tom. By the way, if you're enjoying our little garden chat, don't forget you can watch all episodes of Pottering on my YouTube channel at Tom Allen. Or, if you prefer, just carry on listening on your podcast app whilst you potter about yourself. We'd love to keep you company.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hey, I don't know how long these are supposed to be. I lose track of time as well. I just chat for ages. But I wanted to talk as well a bit about your novel writing, because I, not to make it about me, but I wrote a novel which I've finished earlier this year.
Yeah.
It's intense. Writing a novel.
It is. So I'm now on my 13th.
I was going to say, yeah, you've written loads.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I found this one the trickiest one.
Unlucky
I think
some.
Because each one, I feel like books teach me something when I'm writing them. And right. You have to be able to disappear into the worlds of
yes.
them. And there's just been a little bit of resistance. And I think it's because this next novel is about saying no. And how the biggest yes, basically saying no to other people is the biggest yes you can give yourself. And
this
I've had to learn it. I've had
yes.
to live it. And because
yes.
I've been so resistant to that, I'm a people pleaser.
Same.
It's just not been there.
Yes.
And what I found fascinating, like with Lily Allen lately, with her West End Girl album, I know that Lily, listening to her podcast, has been really struggling creatively trying to get the next album out. But now she's got something to say. It's suddenly there in 10 days.
Yes.
Right? And I think creatively, we can feel like we are pushing.
Mm.
And sometimes there's just a little thing that's locking us in. But when it happens, when it's meant to happen, it will just come out. I don't think my literary agent or my publisher is like, please just get the book written.
Just anything.
Just
that's
give
what
us
my
it.
Editor was saying, like, just anything. Have you got anything you could show us? Anything like that? Well,
that's
just
a horrible feeling.
I can't rush it.
It's such a horrible feeling
just
if you've got anything.
Just 100 yeah. words. Just send us 100 words. That would be great.
Oh, gosh.
Any time you want to talk through an idea. I was like, if I knew what the idea was to talk through, I wouldn't need you.
But it's amazing when you finish. When you send it off,
yes.
it's a gorgeous feeling of kind of, now it's, here we go.
But have you had the experience where you go, that's done, sent it in, line under it, booked the holiday.
The end.
And then you come back from the holiday or you know, the time away, and then they go, so we've got the proofs here, can you just go through? And I've started reading through the proofs, and I'm like, why have you used an apostrophe like that?
Mm.
And all that sort of thing.
Oh, but I feel like my approach to the proofreading on the copy edits is going to be different to yours.
What do you think?
Because for me, I think at first I used to be quite embarrassed about things I've used. How have I done that grammatically wrong
yes.
all my life?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, that's not even a word.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Definitely is not spelt with an A, you nitwit.
Yes.
You know, things like that. Before, like,
exactly that.
All the tech stuff came in, that now everything's just predictive text, and you'd go, oh my gosh.
Yes.
But for you, I feel like when things are grammatically wrong, that must be a bit of a, how did I not know?
Well,
whereas for me, I appreciate that person loves finding those things. That is their job.
That is somebody's job. And
yeah.
they have done a great job on that. I think that for me, So at my comprehensive school, I did not learn
Latin. I went to Sylvia's.
I went to
Sylvia's school. I was high kicking.
I was going to say we didn't learn grammar. I mean, we didn't learn. Yeah, so we didn't learn pirouettes either. So it wasn't really a training. There was no training for anything. But, you know, we didn't learn, especially like old fashioned grammar, you know, ending don't end a sentence with a preposition.
But I just think, look, I looked at my kids' homework a couple of years ago. And
now they do it, don't they?
So I was talking to a Ned Syke at the time who was looking at this homework.
Okay.
And me and Tom were both there. And she was like, do you know what that is? And I was like, no idea. No. Tom, no idea. Right, so you two write books and you don't know what this thing is. Why are we teaching it to kids?
Oh, yeah.
Why are we making them worry
about
creatively? Right. This,
yes,
I guess
yes.
creative writing is very different to academic writing that you might need. But when you have children who are worrying about how they form a sentence,
yes.
rather than getting creative ideas down,
actually,
out and on
the page.
Actually,
we didn't have to think like that. We just wrote
a
sentence. Yes, you're right.
I think you shouldn't be worrying. Yeah. There should be time, at least, where you just get to creatively let it spill out. And Cressida Cowell, who was Children's Laureate for a while, I don't know if she still is, but she did a massive push on that to get kids just being
just
able to creatively write
for
a certain period of time. And I think that's so important. But we can get bogged down.
Well, I would say I really obviously have enjoyed the creative approach.
Yeah.
However, when one comes to record one's audiobook of said novel, and like literally halfway through a sentence, I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying here. Or I'll be like, you know, I'll write these sentences, which are basically a paragraph. And I think, gosh, you think you're so clever, don't you, with your semicolon? It comes to reading it out loud and I'm like...
I read, my way of going back over what I've written is to read it out loud.
Oh, that's very clever. I wish I did that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Having just done the audiobook, I wish I'd done that sooner.
Well, I think audiobooks, they were quite humbling. When you've got your audio engineer there going... you've written that and that. It's basically the same thing. You don't need both.
Oh.
Okay. let's get that out in the Kindle version. Let's take it out.
Yes.
The reprints.
I'm doing the audiobook quite early, right. So I'm doing notes as I go.
Right.
Which is quite a blessing, I think, because of those things where I go like, oh my goodness, why am I saying that again? I've already described that character.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can take those sorts of things out. It's been quite useful to have that. But then it is quite an intense time that you're just in this little box,
yeah,
with a person through a window who you don't really speak to for hours on end, but you just know they're listening. And every now and then my one just clicks in and goes, just that last sentence again. I'm like, what was wrong with that? Like,
I liked it. And now you've ruined my flow.
Now you've ruined the flow. And now I can't, now, and I wasn't tripping for ages. And now I know I'm going to start tripping over words like the.
Yeah, what is this word? I don't know what it is.
You really, all those, I mean, of course, you're probably trained. Those vocal warm-up exercises really come into their own, where you do have to suddenly start working.
Yeah.
Say it all. Mm. And they said to me, you don't need to perform, it's just a reading, so just a general characterisation. You don't need to. Because I'm there going like, and then she said.
When there's suddenly an accent.
Why did I
give him a Cornish accent and then say that I'm going to do this audiobook? Oh, Lord.
So he's new. He's from New Zealand, but he lives in France.
He's travelled. Yeah, he's travelled.
Oh, my God.
Just offending anyone who ever listens to your audiobook.
Oh, I had a character who read newspapers from around the world. I was like, I don't know how to say. Is it El Pais? Or El Pais? Le Monde. Like, I didn't. Just all these things. I was like, well, it was quite fine, wasn't it, on that rainy Tuesday when I started writing this chapter?
Well, then you find out that you say simple words like wrong, like forehead.
Oh, yes.
Forehead. It's not, you're not meant to say forehead.
You say, forehead.
Yes.
I did exactly the same thing. That's so funny.
But I'm not going about in my everyday life, it's still a forehead.
People tend to say forehead now more, don't they, than forehead.
Forehead.
And I said he furrowed his brows. Because I was thinking he's got two eyebrows.
Yeah.
And when I said it, I was like, that's not right, is it? And he was like, no, it's brow. Because I think that's all considered like one brow.
One muscle.
Mm. One Frida Kahlo brow. I don't know, maybe that's what people imagine
that. Maybe we should all have mono brows.
Mono brows. That would save a lot of trouble with... I mean, gosh, who knew we were going to do a Rama-themed podcast? GCSE English language. Language. Couldn't even say it.
Think this is a new podcast that we need to do together.
There you go. There you go. It's talking while thinking about what you're saying is...
It's amazing. It's quite something.
It's quite something, isn't it? Uh-huh. And look, we've done books before.
We're authors. I say that all the time. I'm just like, I am an author and I'm getting these things wrong.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one, and you're much more experienced than I am. So I feel a lot better about that, actually, Giovanna.
Good,
so
I'm glad I'm glad I could give you this. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say.
I start smushing all the words together and doing the next word along. Because then you start to go like, what is reading? Because how am I managing to say a word that I've read a beat before because I'm on to the next word?
Yeah.
It's a bit like walking up a spiral staircase. Have you ever done that?
Well, I start thinking about what you're doing.
If you start thinking about walking up a spiral staircase, you'll fall over. I want to say try it, but don't. But if you think about
it. Is that anything in life, though, if you start thinking about breathing? How is that? You will not breathe, but you'll suddenly be like, oh.
I've been doing that for hours and I haven't thought about it once.
A massive one I have. If I'm looking at someone and something in my brain suddenly starts telling me that I'm looking at one eye or the other eye, and then I'm like, where am I looking? And now I'm cross-eyed. Oh, God, I don't know where. I have it a lot. That's an internal thing in my brain that starts freaking me out. I've never spoken about it before. But now I'll suddenly go, do I look into that eye, that eye? Where do I look? When I'm looking at someone, where do I look?
I know exactly what you mean, because we're taught, look people in the eye when you speak to them.
They've
got two eyes. There you go, the rain doesn't like it. And also, to look someone in, like, even in a sort of generic kind of blurred sense of, like, their eye area, it's quite an intense thing to do.
Which is why, so I do these treks for Copperfield.
I was going to say Copperfield.
But when we're trekking, you can't eyeball someone. Oh. And there's something amazing that happens because you're out walking and
sometimes
you're
in
looking
the rain.
At your feet. A lot of the times in the rain
so I know you're used to this.
That's why it's here. She's like, let's talk about the treks. Let's get the rain in. You can't, because you're just looking at where you're going, you just talk in such a free manner. It's amazing.
Oh my God, this is not part of the...
You've got a whole day of this.
Is it? How long? It's all good? Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were going pause.
Well, the thing is, right? This is what it's about, right? It's about the reality of being outside.
Yes. Yes,
I
darling.
Thought, no way. No way am I going to be in a studio like all those other people.
I've got to say, the treks have been like this all year.
Have they? Oh, so you're used to it.
I'm used to it. We're going to the Sahara, and that's the only one that's guaranteed sunshine.
Yeah, but imagine if then that rains.
Can you imagine?
That's the end of days.
Yeah.
That's the end of days.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it must be like in your greenhouse at the moment.
Loud.
Must be like the end of the world. the Copperfield, which always makes me think of David Copperfield.
Yes, which on Instagram auto, you know.
Oh, does it? Yes.
Turns it to a Copperfield. Yeah.
Which sounds sort of Dickensian. Dickensian charity. But those treks, I think it's a bit like. There's that walk that's been a pilgrimage for years in Spain, that Santiago de Compostela, I think it is. Sort of tripped off the tongue there. Apparently, it's a lovely thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to people and you talk to strangers and it's really...
Yeah, it's the most amazing thing. Seeing a bunch of... We have 120 people each trek. Although the single day ones, we had up to 750 people.
Wow.
This year, which is amazing. We've raised over £2 million for the charity. The amount of awareness that has been raised as well is huge.
Yes.
But having that those people come together as strangers and the way that everyone just bonds and the way that they do, it just blows my mind every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think things like that as well, people want to engage with. People want to do something active.
Yeah.
That is moving all of people forward. I think it's such a great thing.
And we have so many people come and trek with us that have had a breast cancer diagnosis. Some have, some haven't. Yeah. Some might be their, you know, a relative or a friend. Mm. Others just want a little bit of a challenge themselves.
Mm.
And I think having such a mixed bag of people come along means the conversation is even richer.
Yes.
It's just phenomenal. And it's the most... The life-fulfilling thing I think I do.
And you do some... I mean, I should have said this. You know, you are so impressive, Giovanna, because you do so many different things in such a wonderful way, in such a kind, open way.
Yeah.
Not like me, cynical and cruel, but the...
I've often thought about it.
That's what I like people to think anyway. But you do it in such an amazing way that engages different people, that you kind of bring people to the conversation, whatever that conversation is. And it's a really remarkable thing you've done with your work. I think it's incredible.
I really love what I do. I love it. And whether that's the podcast and getting people to talk in a way that, you know, they haven't. Because again, with the podcast, the very sad statistic is that the leading cause of death in new mums is suicide within the first year.
Is that right?
Yeah. And that's not changed for the last 20, 30 years. So it's so important that we have these conversations. And I think that's a through thought through all of my work. It's that thing of getting people talking, feeling like they're not on their own in different aspects of their life.
Yes. Well, I think that's really, really wonderful. And I think as well, I often say it, but I think our age, the age of communication technology has often been a great thing. But at times I think it sometimes creates divisions between people and it separates people. And I think it does sometimes create, loneliness of a sort. And I think what you're doing is turning it on its head, though. And that's such an important, powerful thing to be doing at this point in time.
It? Because you can be so lonely, even though it's so noisy.
Absolutely. That's such a great description of it. And it is noise at times, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you say about the kind of, with you mentioned about motherhood, feeling like there was a lot of noise around. And, and actually... honouring people's individual experience, I think, is so powerful. It's so
absolutely
important.
Yeah.
Well, now the rain stopped.
Giovanna, we're allowed to go inside now.
Well, I'd now like you to put some mulching. Would you mind actually?
Yes.
Thank you. Giovanna Fletcher, thank you so much for sharing your great wisdom on the world, but also for your. I thought some water had fallen on your sock, but no.
It's a tie-dye design.
Thank goodness. I thought my umbrella has been.
And my slightly spiky legs. Oh, they're spikier than I thought.
Please don't. When will we be happy with ourselves?
This morning when I didn't shave, I was like, I don't need to.
Please, we're a very non-shaving podcast.
just don't show the legs.
Thank God it was raining. No one will notice. the No, thank you so much, sugar, and so much garden wisdom. I don't think I've had a guest on here who's actually taught me so much, mainly because I've not allowed them to speak. But
whereas I just keep going.
Giovanna, I love a like-minded spirit. And no, not at all. You've been so... Thank you for answering all my questions so wonderfully. So thank you very much, Giovanna Fletcher, for joining me here.
Oh, let's get gardening together soon.
You're on.
Next year, when it warms up.
Yeah, when it's not looking like shit.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for pottering with me today. I'll be back next week with another lovely guest. Until then, why not click subscribe on my YouTube channel? It's at Tom Allen. Or follow the show on your podcast app so you're always up to date. And if you can leave a little review, 5 stars if you're feeling generous, it really helps other people find the show. Yes. Anyway, thank you. Bye for now.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.